Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Well, here at North Point, we have said that 2023 is our year of
legacy.
That's right. It is our year of legacy. And our motto for the year is live the legacy that you want to leave. Live the legacy that you want to leave, because you do not get to leave something that you have not lived. If you want to leave a legacy, you must first live that legacy out. And remember that everyone leaves a legacy. A legacy is not just for famous people. It's not just for the politicians. It's not just for the celebrities. No. Everyone leaves a legacy because everyone leaves a story. And your legacy is just the story that people tell about the person that you were and the difference that you made in their lives and in the world. And since everybody leaves a story, everyone leaves a legacy. And we've been looking at some of these legacies this summer in the scriptures in our series entitled Ready, Set, Move. We've been looking at the characters found in Hebrews chapter 11. We refer to them as the Hall of Fame of faith, if you would. But these are people that left a legacy of faith. But I want you to remember that they left a legacy of faith. Why? Because they lived the life of faith. And they lived the life of faith because they went on this journey of faith in their lives. And as we talk today, as we kind of really wrap up this entire summer series today, today will be the culmination of this series, let us be reminded that faith isn't merely belief. Sometimes when we think of faith, we think of just belief, but faith is so much more than belief. The people in Hebrews chapter 11, they didn't make it into the Hall of Fame of faith just because they believed. They made it into the Hall of Fame because they were willing to move, because they were taking action on what God was speaking to them. We could say it this way, that real faith is marked by resilient faithfulness. That real faith, genuine faith, it is marked, it is evidenced, it is seen in this resilient faithfulness. That faith isn't perfection, but faith is perseverance. Faith is just not quitting and not giving up, because whenever we read the stories of Hebrews chapter 11, and we read the story of Abraham, and we read the story of David, and we read the story of Moses. When we read these stories, one thing is always the same. Every story is messy. It's all messy. But how did they end up in the Hall of Fame of faith? Is because even though it was messy, they never stopped moving. They just kept on moving forward and trusting God. And that's what it takes. Hear me today. That's what it takes to leave a legacy of faith. Your life is going to be messy. Your life is going to be confusing. Your life is going to be frustrating. There is going to be ups and downs, highs and lows. That is what life brings to each and every one of us. And so we're not looking for perfection. We're just looking for perseverance. Because if we're going to leave a legacy of faith, it's just because we kept on moving towards God, towards His will, and towards His way throughout what we like to refer to here as the journey of faith. That's the life of a Christ follower. It is truly the journey of faith. And as you go on that journey, here's the promise I will make you. If you stay on that journey, if you keep on moving in that journey, then your faith will be shaped and strengthened along the way. If you just keep moving forward, your faith will be shaped and it will be strengthened. This is what James, the brother of Jesus, says in James chapter 1. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. He says, when you face trials, when you face trouble, when your faith is tested, that's when perseverance has the chance to grow. That's when endurance has the chance to grow. And we have to let it grow. We have to let perseverance finish its work so that we can be what? Be mature and complete. Now, here's the reality. Everybody wants to be mature. Everybody wants to be complete. Everybody wants their life to be fruitful. But how do we get there? We get there by staying in the game. We get there by staying on the journey. We get there by walking through the tests, the things that test our faith. And it is through those tests that our faith is shaped. It's through the challenges of life that our faith is strengthened. And this is why we must be willing to go on this journey. And today we're going to look at our last biblical character from Hebrews 11, and that is Gideon. And just to give you just a quick little background on Gideon, Gideon was a judge in Israel, but to kind of put it in a timeline, I got a timeline for you. We're going to put it up there on the screen. And let me just, this is just a quick run through the Bible. You know, sometimes you hear the Bible and you hear, oh, this is a king and this is a judge. And you're like, I don't know, who came first, Abraham or Moses? I don't know, right? Okay, this is just a quick run through. Maybe you want to take a picture of this. I found it on the internet, so it's there if you just Google. Okay, and so, but it's there. Somebody was like, wow, you really created that timeline? No, I'm not that smart or artistic, okay? So I found it. But here's what we know, creation happens. God created the heavens and the earth. God created Adam and Eve. It was creation. In Genesis chapter 12, that's where the patriarch begins. We talked about Abraham. We referred to him as the father of our faith. God comes and he speaks with Abraham and he calls him out of this godless people. And he says, I'm going to establish you as my people group on the earth. There's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then there's Joseph. Joseph is the one that actually gets them into Egypt where they would eventually be blessed so much and grow so much that Egypt would enslave them. That's where you get into the Exodus because they would become enslaved for 400 years and then Moses would have to go and lead them out of slavery. This is where you get the Red Sea, right, in the wilderness for 40 years, this period of Exodus. And then there's conquest because God didn't just bring them out of Egypt just to leave them out there in the wilderness. He brought them out of bondage to take them into a promise, to take them into a land that flows with milk and honey, that is fertile and fruitful. It's a fertile and fruitful land, and that's the conquest. Joshua takes the people right after Moses, after 40 years in the wilderness, Joshua takes them across the Jordan River into Canaan, into the promised land, and they begin to defeat their enemy there, and they begin to set up their rule and their reign in the promised land. And then there's this period of the judges. Because after they take dominion over this land, they're people, right? And so they start doing their own thing, doing life their own way. They forget about the God who brought them out of slavery, and they start living selfishly. They start violating all the laws of God, right? And then every time there would an enemy that would come in and conquer them, and then God would raise up a judge or a deliverer, we could say. And they would go out, and this is where Samson comes in, Gideon that we're going to be talking about, Deborah, Ehud, all these different judges through this period of hundreds of years, they would come in and they would deliver Israel, then there would be peace and rule and reign in Israel, and then it would go back and forth like a lot of our lives. Okay, and then there's a kingdom. They come and they say, hey, we want to be like these other countries. We don't like just having the judges. We want a king. We want an established group. And that's where Saul becomes the first king, and then David and Solomon and so on and so on. And then they have some bad kings, and so then the people come in and conquer them. They get taken out of their land in exile. Then they return, and then there's 400 years of silence between Malachi and the beginning of the New Testament, and then we get into the New Testament Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In your Bible, it's the story of Jesus on the earth. The church is the birth of the church in the book of Acts, and then we have all of the letters and the epistles and missions. The church goes out into the world, and this is what brings us to today. So there you go, from creation all the way to today. Come on, just somebody give it. You got the whole Bible today, okay? We covered it all, all right? But Gideon is right there in the judges, okay? Gideon was one of the judges. And like I said, the people of God had started doing things their own way. They were not obeying God's command. They were worshiping idols. They were breaking his laws. So God allows this people group called the Midianites, okay, to come in and to basically terrorize God's people. They begin to steal and destroy their crops and their animals. And they do this for 7 years. It says, then the people of God cry out for help after 7 years. If you ever wonder how stubborn we are, right? 7 years, I mean, year one would have been a good idea, right? After 7 years, finally, they're like, okay, we can't figure this out. God, we need you to help. And that's what God does. God answers. And he answers through this man by the name of Gideon. And so today, I don't want to just tell you a Bible story. I don't want to just point out things about Gideon's life. Today, I want to give you some action steps on this journey of faith. I want to give you some steps that you have to take along your journey of faith if you want to build a legacy. This is literally a blueprint for building a legacy. This is a blueprint for your journey of faith. And it starts with this. The first step is this: accept your calling. Accept your calling. All right, I've set the scene with where we are, and now God is getting ready to do something with his people. They've cried out for help. He's getting ready to answer. And this is what it says in Judges chapter 6. It says, "The angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.'" Everybody say, "Mighty warrior." "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "Then Gideon said, 'Sir.'" Okay, and the reason he said, "Sir," is because the angel didn't show up with like wings and a sword, right, and glowing, right? I mean, they wouldn't have been. The scriptures actually tell us, theologians actually say, that this angel would have shown up looking very, very normal. It'd been a normal-looking person. So Gideon says, "Sir, if the Lord is with us, why are we having so much trouble? Where are the miracles our ancestors told us he did when the Lord brought them out of Egypt? But now he has left us, and he has handed us over to the Midianites.' The Lord turned to Gideon and said, 'Go with your strength and save Israel from the Midianites. I am the one who is sending you.' But Gideon answered, 'Lord, how can I save Israel?'" That's the question. Here comes the excuse. "My family group is the weakest in Manasseh," which was his tribe, "and I am the least important member of my family." Then the Lord answered him, "I will be with you." Notice the Lord answered his question, not his excuse. The Lord was not concerned with his excuse and what he thought. The Lord was only answering his question, "How can I save Israel?" And the Lord answered, "Because I will be with you. And it will seem as if the Midianites you are fighting are only one man." The first step on the journey of faith is to accept your calling. Now listen, I'm not talking about how we can throw that term out in church and talk about, I'm called to preach or I'm called to lead worship. What I am talking about is I am talking about who God has called you. Who has God called you? You see, you might have experiences that disagree with that. You might have some emotions or feelings that disagree with that. You might have some labels that you have put on yourself or that other people have put on you that contradict what he called you. But can I just take a moment and tell you what God has called you? God has called you a child of God. He has called you a son or a daughter. He has called you adopted. He has called you chosen. He has called you unconditionally loved. He has called you fully accepted. He has called you more than a conqueror. He has called you forgiven. He has called you free. He has called you his workmanship. He has called you an overcomer. So we need to stop arguing with the Creator about who he created us to be, and we just need to get in agreement and accept what the Creator says about us. Do you notice what God said to Gideon first? He said, "You, my friend, are a mighty warrior." The end of the story is going to prove it. Spoiler alert, like if you don't know the story, okay, Gideon wins, okay? We're going to get there in a minute. But the end of the story ends with where God started, meaning that we didn't have to go through this whole thing, but I'm the lowest in my tribe in Manasseh, and I'm the weakest in my family. We didn't have to do all that. We could have just accepted. If you say I'm a mighty warrior, I'm a mighty warrior. If you say I'm the head and not the tail, I'm the head and not the tail. If you say I'm an overcomer, then that means I'm an overcomer. If you say I belong to you, then that means I belong to you. If you say I am forgiven and I am free, then I am forgiven and I am free. Because I choose to believe that you know more about me than I even know about myself. And you surely know more than my mama did or my coach did. You know more. So I am going to accept what you have called me. That's where it all starts. Here's the second step. After you go ahead and accept your calling, then the second thing you got to do, you got to admit your doubts. It says, then Gideon said to the Lord, "If you are pleased with me, give me proof." Everybody say, "Give me proof." Give me proof that it is really you talking with me. "Please wait here until I come back to you. Let me bring my offering and set it in front of you." And the Lord said, "I will wait until you return." So Gideon went in and cooked a young goat and with 20 quarts of flour made bread without yeast? Then he put the meat into the basket and brought them to the pot. He brought them out, gave them to the angel under the oak tree. The angel of God said to Gideon, put the meat and the bread without yeast on the rock over there, then pour the broth on them. And Gideon did as he was told. Then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the bread with the end of his stick that was in his hand. Then fire jumped out of the rock, completely burned up the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. Then Gideon understood he had been talking to the angel of the Lord. Here's what we know. Gideon's not an idiot, right? Okay, he's like, okay, that's good. But don't miss what Gideon said right in the beginning. Gideon says, give me proof. I hear what you're saying, but what you're saying might not be enough for me for what you're telling me is about to happen. You're going to use me to deliver the entire nation? Come on, I'm going to need a little bit more than just a blurb, a public service announcement. I'm going to need a little bit more than that if I'm going to believe that. I need you to give me proof. And when I read this, I'm reminded of the disciple of Jesus by the name of Thomas. Because Jesus had appeared to 10 of his disciples and they had seen Jesus and Thomas wasn't there. The scripture says Thomas wasn't there. And whenever they see Thomas again, they say, Thomas, what Jesus said, it actually came to pass. He is alive. We have seen him. But Thomas said, that ain't enough for me. I'm going to have to see him with my own eyes. I'm going to have to stick my hand in his hand. I'm going to have to stick my hand in his side where he was pierced. I'm going to have to, and as he's talking, the scripture says Jesus enters the room. And he didn't walk through the doorway. He walked through the locked door, okay? And just says, hey, Thomas, go ahead. Here I am. Put your hand here. Put your hand. Is this enough? Because he just needed proof. Listen to me, friends. God's not intimidated by you admitting your doubts because he is the one who can answer your doubts. God's not intimidated by you admitting your doubts because he's the one that can answer your doubts. This journey of faith is not a doubt-free zone. And sometimes we get in trouble because we think when we get on this pathway, there's going to be no doubt along the way. And then when we encounter doubt, we're like, oh, something's wrong with me. Something's wrong with my journey. I shouldn't be having these doubts. Ooh, it doesn't look like anybody else is having doubts. I'm the only one having these doubts. And instead of admitting our doubt, we hide our doubt. But God can't answer something that you hide. God can't answer something that you are willing to admit. So Gideon just stands up and says, hey, if this is really you and you really gonna do this, I'm gonna need some proof. And so what did God do? God gave him proof. God answered his doubts. Admit your doubts to God and give him a chance to be your answer. Here's the third step on the journey of faith that we see in Gideon's life, and that is awaken your devotion. So we see this, this calling he has, these doubts that are there. But then there's this moment of awakening devotion. It says, but the Lord said to Gideon, calm down, because Gideon's freaking out right here because he thinks he's seen the Lord. The angel disappears. He's like, oh my God, it was God. I saw him with my face. I'm about to die. And the Lord says to Gideon, calm down. Don't be afraid. You will not die. So Gideon built an altar there to worship the Lord, and he named it the Lord is Peace. It still stands at Ophrah, where the Abimelechites live. I want you to see this. Gideon just didn't have a moment of worship. Gideon built a place to worship. Because devotion is always about dedication. And dedication is always about coming back to something again. It would have been real easy for that angel to touch that rock and that sacrifice to be consumed and for Gideon to fall down and be like, oh God, it was you. I reckon, and to have an emotional experience there and get up and 10 days later forget that it ever happened. But Gideon wasn't interested in emotion. He was interested in devotion. And he said, I'm gonna build something here that I can come back to. I'm gonna build something here that's gonna remind me to worship. And this is what we have to do in our lives. Don't just be moved by an emotional experience to worship, but make worship a part of your devotion. Make Bible reading a part of your devotion. Go ahead and read your Bible in the morning. Determine you're gonna be a person that prays every night. Turn on the worship music and have you a worship experience as you drive to work. And you say, this is going to be my rhythm. This is going to be my routine. This is going to be my strategy. This is going to be my system. Why? Because I'm not interested in just having an emotional experience on Sunday when Pastor Destiny gets up here and starts rah, rah, rah. I don't just want that. I want to build an altar for myself that I can visit all week long. You have to awaken that devotion. Because if you don't awaken the devotion, you will live by your emotion. And the thing about devotion is it's motion. Devotion is motion. Devotion is consistency. And consistency always needs me to do something on a regular basis. And that's what he did. He built an altar that he could come back to. And the scripture says, it's still there today. It's still there. What he built is still there. Why? That's what devotion looks like. Devotion looks like in 10 months from now when you don't feel like it, you still do it. When a year from now when you don't feel like it, you still do it. Why? Because I built something in my life and I do it whether I want to do it or not because it's about devotion. It's a journey of faith. You have to awaken devotion. Here's the next step. The next step is you have to accelerate your growth. That's what Gideon shows you. You got to accelerate your growth. How do you do that? Let's look in the story. Scripture says this, that same night. Everybody say that same night. Same night. That same night, the Lord said to Gideon, take the bull that belongs to your father and a second bull, 7 years old. Pull down your father's altar to Baal. Cut down the Asherah idol beside it. Then build an altar to the Lord your God with its stones in the right order on this high ground. Kill and burn a second bull on this altar using the wood from the Asherah idol. So Gideon got 10 of his servants and did what the Lord told him to do. But Gideon was afraid that his family and the men in the city might see him. So he did it at night, not in the daytime. I want you to see this. I mean, this has been a full day, okay? I mean, this has been a full day. Gideon was minding his own business, right? This angel shows up with this mighty warrior declaration, right? He's like, all right, okay. All right, you're gonna have to show me it's really you, right? This man has seen fire come out the end of this thing, right? I mean, it is sacrifice consumed. Okay, I mean, he has been through, he builds an altar, and it says that same night, this has been a full day, and it says that same night. Why is that important? It reminds us this, you gotta take immediate action. You got to take immediate action. Nothing helps your growth and development more than taking action right away. Yes. Let me say it to you this way today. Don't wait on everything. Just do one thing. Don't wait on everything. Maybe we could say it this way. Just do the next thing. Because here's what we do. We say, oh, well, I mean, God has been a big day. I mean, that was an emotional revelation that I had. And I built that altar. And God's like, hey, tonight I want you to go do this. And you're like, well, I'm going to have to talk to some people first. And I'm going to have to check my to-do list. And I don't know if that's a really good idea. Because that might put, I mean, God, look at how far we've already come. Like, God, I don't know if we should, like, I mean, are we trying to overdo it right now, God? Is this too much, right? And we can come up with all the reasons and all the excuses and all the alibis and everything else to keep us from moving. But what Gideon shows us is there is a way to accelerate your growth, and that is to take immediate action. Just do the next thing. Do the one thing that you know to do. You might not have every piece of the puzzle, and you might not know every step from now to the end. You might not know how it's all going to work out, but just do the next thing. By the way, what did this have to do with what God had just talked to Gideon about, conquering the Midianites? But God is taking him on this journey, and just do the next thing. Don't you worry about the Midianites yet, because I'm giving you this so that I'm preparing you for that. So just do the next thing. We're waiting, but how does this all fit together? And I don't understand this. And understand that. Just do the next thing. You got to accelerate your growth. You got to accelerate growth by doing the next thing. And that's what he does. So he goes in and he does this whole thing. And you can read the story. I mean, it's a great story. And after this, now God says, okay, now it's time to call the Israelites together. It's time to go fight now. You've built the altar. You've torn down your father's altar. You built another altar. You've made a sacrifice there. Now it's time to call. And so that's what Gideon does. He sounds the alarm. Do-do-do-do-do. Okay, and people start coming out from all these different tribes and clans. They start gathering. Hopefully his horn sounded a little better than mine, right, for battle, okay? But nonetheless, that's what we're working with here. So these men, these fighting men from Israel, they start showing up for battle. And it takes us to the next step. The next step on our journey of faith is this: adjust your attitude. Adjust your attitude. Because here's what the story says. Judges chapter 7. It says, early in the morning, Gideon and all of his men set up their camp at the spring of Herod. The Midianites were camped north of them in the valley at the bottom of the hill called Moreh. Then the Lord said to Gideon, you have too many men to defeat the Midianites. I don't want the Israelites to brag that they saved themselves. To which I would have said, yeah, but I don't want to die either, God, okay? If I'm going to battle, I don't want less soldiers, I want more soldiers. Because the traditional or typical thinking here is the more people I bring to the fight, the better chance I have to win the fight. But here's why we have to adjust our attitude, because we define our attitude as our settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something. And listen to me, friends, sometimes our settled way of thinking or feeling is the thing that stands in the way of our next victory. This is why you have to adjust your attitude, because if you are hanging on to how you won your last fight, it might keep you from winning your next fight. This is why you have to adjust your way of thinking, because it might be typical and it might be traditional, but it might not be where God is trying to take you. And so you've got to be adjusting your thinking about people and adjusting your thinking about things and adjusting your feelings about people and adjusting your feelings about things. Why? Because God is interested in you winning the next fight. God's not interested in your philosophy of what it looks like to normally fight. God says, no, I'm preparing you for the next fight, and this is what I'm telling you. You have too many men, and it's why you got to adjust your attitude, because when it doesn't make sense to your brain, you have to say, okay, God, it doesn't make sense to me, but I'm trusting you in this process. You got to adjust your attitude. Takes us to the next step, and that is assess your team. If you're going to walk this life of faith and leave a legacy of faith, you better assess your team. Scripture says, so now announce to the people, anyone who is afraid may leave Mount Gilead and go back home. So 22,000 men returned home and 10,000 remained, and Gideon wept. No, that's not actually in there. That's what you know, I mean, when you make the announcement, if you are afraid, you can go home. I mean, I'm thinking like 200, right, are going to leave, right? No, 22,000. 10,000 remain. Then the Lord said to Gideon, there are still too many men. That's why you got to adjust your attitude again, right? I mean, it's like one time, first time, I got to adjust my attitude again. Take the men down to the water and I will test them for you there. If I say this man will go with you, he will go. But if I say that one will not go, he will not go. So Gideon led the men down to the water. There the Lord said to him, separate them into those who drink water by lapping it up like a dog, and those who bend down to drink. There were 300 men who used their hands to bring water to their mouths, lapping it as a dog does. All the rest got down on their knees to drink. Then the Lord said to Gideon, using the 300 men who lapped the water, I will save you and hand Midian over to you. Let all the others go home. 22,000 were afraid. 22,000 did not want to have any business in this fight. 22,000 did not believe in the dream. 22,000 said, well, wherever we are is good enough for me, and I'm just going to go home. And here's what I would tell you. You don't need people around you who are constantly sharing their fears, constantly sharing their negativity. You don't need people in your inner circle that are filling your life with doom and gloom and every conspiracy theory. You don't need people around you. Listen, and I'm talking about, you don't even, if you include your news station, just go ahead and lump your news station in that. You don't need all the doom and gloom in there, your social media feed. You don't need all of that negativity in your life. You need to just announce, where we are trying to go, that can't go with me. And there are some people in your life that you just need to release and let them go. Because they are actually holding you back and bringing you down from where God is trying to take you. Because they're afraid, they want you to be afraid. Because they live in negativity, they want you to live in negativity. Now hear me, if you got people who want help with their negativity and they're trying to break through and they want to change and they want to be different, absolutely, get in the mess with them and help them break those bad habits and help them change their way of thinking. But if they have no interest in changing, listen, then they won't change, but you will. And not for the best. They will pull you back. That's why God said, let those 22,000 go, because they'll infect everything else I'm trying to do here. You got to let them go. But it wasn't just the 22,000. Listen, there was another 9,700. Because we had 10,000, only 300 got to go fight. So you got 9,700. And what happened to them? I would say it to you this way, that those 9,700 were very short-sighted and selfish. Because just take them down to the water and look how they drink. Take them down to the river, see how they drink. And there are 300 that take the water up in their hands and they lap it like a dog. Now listen, if we are going to war, I need people who are always looking out for the enemy. I need people who are always head on the swivel. But he said, listen, the people that get down like this and they get on all fours and they drink the water like this, he says, let those people go home. Because those people are too short-sighted. Those people are going to get lost in the moment. Those people are going to lose sight of the big picture. Those people aren't going to see where we're actually trying to go. And you, and listen, if me and you, if we're in a dogfight and it's me and you, and listen, I don't want you standing next to me. You over there, you know, I mean, and I'm getting shot in my back. You're supposed to have my back, my man. I need you over there. I need you lapping like a dog, right? I need you ready. God says, let those 9,700, let them go. Do you know who you don't need in your life? You don't need people in your life who are short-sighted. You don't need people in your life who are so selfish and everything is about them. You don't need people who allow you to get shot in the back and they're like, well, at least it didn't hit me, right? You don't need people like that in your life. You have got to learn that if you are going to go where God wants you to go and you are going to experience the victories that God wants you to experience, there are some people in your inner circle that are going to have to be released. That don't mean you don't be friendly. You can be friendly. Like they can stay in the outer circle and say, oh, hey, good to see you. Right? Oh, you can be nice. But they can't be sitting at your dinner table. They can't be having this access to you, because they're going to hold you back. You got to assess your team, because the people in your inner circle, that's your team. Right? And listen, there are some places that God's trying to take you. But listen, people help you get to places. And there are some people that are around your table that are prohibiting you from getting into the place of victory. And you just need to release them and let their influence walk out of your life. But that doesn't happen if we don't assess our team. Here's the next step. The next step on the journey of faith to build a life of legacy is to acknowledge your fear. Now listen to this. This is amazing. It says, that night the Lord said to Gideon, get up. Go down and attack the camp of the Midianites, because I will give them to you. But if you are afraid to go down, take your servant with you. When you come to the camp of Midian, you will hear what they are saying. Then you will not be afraid to attack the camp. So Gideon and his servant went down to the edge of the enemy camp. Please notice that God did not rebuke Gideon for being afraid of taking his 300 men against an army that was somewhere between 120 and 180,000 soldiers. God did not rebuke Gideon for being afraid, but guess what? God did give Gideon an opportunity to acknowledge his fear. He didn't rebuke him for being afraid. Instead, he gave him an opportunity to acknowledge his fear, and Gideon acknowledged it, and he said, okay, I'll take that choice. God says, get up, go down, you're gonna get victory. He says, but if you're afraid, you can go listen in. He's like, okay, I'm taking that choice. I'm gonna go listen in. And when he gets to the edge of the camp, he starts hearing two soldiers talk. And the soldier says, I had a dream last night. And this big barley, roll of barley came through our camp and completely destroyed. And they said, well, what did it mean? The other soldier said, what does it mean? He says, it means that Israel is coming for us. And their God is going to conquer us. And they're going to demolish us. And they're going to wipe us out from the face of the planet. And when Gideon heard that, he said, woo, right? I mean, now Gideon is ready to go fight. But please listen, God could not have given him that answer if he didn't acknowledge his fear. And sometimes we're not getting the answers that we need to move forward because we're not acknowledging the fear that is in here. So good. God's not afraid of you acknowledging your fear. God actually invites him to acknowledge his fear. And he says, I've got an answer for you. Go and acknowledge it. I've got an answer for you. Here, which takes us to the eight steps. Yeah, I got 10. I couldn't have told you that in the beginning. You'd have walked out. Here's the eighth step, and that is to affirm your courage. Affirm your courage. It says this, when Gideon heard about the dream and what it meant, he worshiped God. Then Gideon went back to the camp of Israel. I mean, that sounds really good. It's just 300 of them, right? He goes back to the camp of Israel and he called out to them, get up. The Lord has handed the army of Midian over to you. Come on, can you just see this? Gideon tiptoes down to the camp because he's acknowledged his fear. But he comes back to the camp full of courage because God answered his fear, and he comes back and he is encouraged. And what does Gideon do when he gets back to the camp? He starts giving his courage away because of what he heard. He comes back and he says, men, get up now. God is going to give us this fight. And he starts speaking courage. Listen, you don't need to just walk around with courage, and you don't need to just be encouraged. You need to speak your courage. Why? Because you need to hear yourself say it, and people around you need to hear you say it. There are so many people in your world, and they need to be encouraged. So take the courage that you get from the Lord and begin to give that courage away so that other people can stand up and fight just like you can stand up and fight. Affirm your courage. Here's the next step, and that is assemble your plan. Assemble your plan. After, man, you've got the courage, you're ready. Get up, it's time to go. Motivation, courage is there, faith is there. Assemble your plan. Gideon told the men, he says, watch me and do what I do. When I get to the edge of the camp, do what I do. Surround the enemy camp. When I and everyone with me blow our trumpets, you blow your trumpets too, then shout for the Lord and for Gideon. You see, you need a strategy for victory. And you need a strategy for legacy. This is what we're going to be talking about next month in August. We're going to be talking about how do you design a legacy. Because it's not enough just to have a desire for legacy. I've got to have a design for legacy. How do I design my life in such a way that it will leave a legacy of faith? And this is what Gideon says. He says, watch me and do what I do. This is the ultimate legacy statement. Don't just do what I say. Watch me and do what I do. But you don't have, you will not be able to live that legacy until you first understand that what you need to do. Nobody can follow you until you know what you need to do. So you can't say, do what I do, when you don't know what you're doing. You can't say, do what I do, when you're out there just trying to figure it all out. No. You got to know. You got to say, hey, watch me and do what I do. The only way you can do that is when you have a design. And they assembled a plan. Notice, they didn't just get hype. He didn't just come back and say, get up. We're going to conquer. And they just go, and run out there. We're going to do it. Bam, bam, bam. They didn't get shot, right? God had a plan. He said, put 100 over there. Put 100 over here. Put 100 right here. You're going to take the torches. You're going to take these jars. You're going to take your trumpets. You're going to break the jars. You're going to lift your torches. You're going to blow the trumpets. And you're going to shout for the Lord and for Gideon. They had a plan. Takes us to the last point today, and somebody can come out and play the keys now. And listen, this is the last step in the journey of faith, and that is attack your enemy. When Gideon's 300 men, when they blew the trumpets, the Lord made all the Midianites stand up and fight each other with their swords. They literally started stabbing one another, and the ones who weren't killing each other, they took off running. It says the enemy ran, the enemy army ran away to the city of Beth. You got to be careful saying that word in church. And they ran a long way. Okay? True story, right, preacher? True story. People throw you out on Instagram real quick. You know, you have a slip right there. Oof. Okay? Here's the amazing thing. They start stabbing each other. They freak out. The Midianites, now they're on the run. And now these 300 men, they go chasing them down. They are attacking the enemy. Now let me just give you a reminder, okay? And that is this, that your neighbor across the street who doesn't keep their yard nice and neat, that is not your enemy, okay? Your boss is not your enemy, okay? Your adult child that's driving you crazy right now, not your enemy. Don't you take out your sword for the Lord and for Gideon. You know, don't you do that. Say, well, my pastor told me, attack the enemy. So I'm talking about the enemy of your soul. I'm talking about the one who is attempting to steal, kill, and destroy your peace, your joy, your potential, and your future. I'm talking about you have to attack that enemy. Listen, because if you are not attacking him, be rest assured of one thing. He is attacking you. The Midianites did not gather with 150,000 fighting men for pancakes and sausage with the people of Israel. They gathered because they were getting ready to attack. And they were getting ready to destroy. And you need to know that's just what the enemy of your soul wants to do. He wants to steal, he wants to kill, and he wants to destroy. He's not coming to play games. He's not walking around with his little, you know, his little pitchfork and his little Tom and Jerry, right, on somebody's shoulder. No, friends. No, when he shows up, he shows up to fight. And he shows up to kill, and he shows up to destroy. And if you don't show up to fight and you don't attack the enemy, listen, then there's no way you can win. If you don't attack, you can't win. So the journey of faith, it requires the step when I realize I've got to attack the enemy. I've got to be ready to fight the one who is fighting against me. But here's the great news. I don't have to defeat the enemy because the enemy is ultimately already defeated. The enemy already knows his future. Jesus Christ has conquered death, hell, and the grave, stripped the enemy of all of his powers, but I still have to show up to fight. It's just when I show up to fight, there's no way I can lose because I've already won. But if you don't show up to fight and you don't attack, you are giving the enemy ground in your life. You can't live a legacy of faith, listen, when you're always in the retreat. You got to move forward. You have to move forward. Ready, set, move. This is what the scriptures have been teaching us in Hebrews chapter 11. People just kept on moving. I put all 10 of the steps on the screen for those of you who don't take notes. You know, if you don't take notes in church, you know what we believe around here. The better notes you take in church, the bigger your mansion is in heaven. So for those of you that don't care about the size of your mansion, you can just take a picture of it right here. But I added this word this time. They're essential. This is 10 essential steps. Because you don't get to walk the journey of faith and leave a legacy without the steps. You got to accept your calling. You got to accept who God says that you are. You got to admit your doubts, or otherwise they're not going to be answered. You got to awaken your devotion. Don't live life just by emotional experiences. No, awaken your devotion and create a strategy and a system and a structure in your life. Accelerate your growth. Don't wait till next year. Don't wait till these things get figured out. Don't wait till this season is over when things calm down. You'll be 94 talking about when things calm down, I'm going to get busy and do something. No, it says that same night. You just got to accelerate your growth. Take immediate action. And you got to adjust your attitude. Don't let the way you used to think keep you from what God wants to do next in your life. Adjust that attitude. Assess your team right now. Hey, listen, I don't care if you've been best friends since the fifth grade. I don't care if they related to you. I don't care. Listen, I am telling you, if you keep the wrong people on your inner circle team, it will cost you your next victory. And if there's one thing the story of Gideon shows us, who you take into your fight, which is life, who you take into your fight matters. Be willing to assess your team. Acknowledge your fear. God's not turning away from you because you're afraid. God's not rebuking you because you're afraid. Acknowledge your fear. And if you acknowledge your fear, he'll answer those fear and he'll affirm your courage. Whoo, God, we really can do this. You really are with me. God, all things really are possible. And when he affirms your courage, you begin to affirm that courage to other people around you and assemble a plan. So what we're going to be talking about. Don't you just run out there in life. No. Don't you do that. You get a plan. You get a design for your life. And then finally, you attack your enemy. You attack the enemy. It's the only way to get victory. There's a legacy, a story that you can leave. But if we want to leave a legacy of faith, we got to walk this journey of faith. And we have to take these 10 steps along the way. And if we do that, we can live a life of faith. And if we live a life of faith, we'll leave a legacy of faith. I want you to stand with me today. We'll throw the lead acrostic up there. If you want to take a picture of it, you can. But I just want to take that evaluation question, and that is, are you taking the steps of faith to build legacy? Listen, maybe today you say, man, I'm taking some of those steps, but not all those steps. Maybe you say, I'm taking none of those steps, but I need to take one of those steps, whatever. But you know, there's a step that you need to take in this journey of faith because you want to build a legacy of faith in your life. I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads, close your eyes just for a moment. How many of you would say right now, you say, Philip, there's a step that I need to take. There's a step that I need to take. I want to live a life of faith. I want to go on this journey of faith. I want to take those steps along this journey. I want to build a legacy of faith. And if that's you today, say, I want to take these steps. I want to live a life of faith. If that's you today, come on, just lift up that hand right there where you are. Just as a sign to yourself and a sign to God that says, this is how I want to live my life. I want to live my life like Gideon. I want to live my life taking the steps of faith. I want to live my life moving in this direction. I want to live my life building a legacy, a story of faith, a story of faithfulness. Come on, with that hand lifted right now, will you just repeat this prayer after me right now? Will you say, Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I need you. I need your love and your grace. I need your power and forgiveness. I believe you are who you say you are, and you can do what you say you can do. I want to walk this journey of faith. I want to build a legacy of faith. So help me to take these essential steps along this journey. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your promises. I thank you for every person that just prayed that prayer from the very depths of their soul. These are the people that we want to be. This is the people that we want to be. We want to be people who walk the walk of faith. We want to be people that leave a legacy of faith. This is who we want to be. So Holy Spirit, come. Help us, equip us, empower us to take each and every step that we need to take along this journey. And we want to walk it for your glory. We want to walk it for your kingdom. And it is in Jesus' name we pray and believe. And everybody said amen. Come on, let's welcome.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.